State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Still supposed to be a Bible reader's banquet. Everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come free of charge. Thank you all for everyone that prayed for me. I had one symptom this week as a temperature. I didn't cough, snot, sneeze, nothing like that, just a temperature. And last night it was 98.6, and Nurse Kim said, you all would be safe if I came. So you quit worrying. But thank you for praying for me. We're in Sister Cheryl's horse today. Got a sore throat. You can pray for her. So we're just going to get right into it. Get right in. Brother BB, how about praying for us? Good to see you this morning, buddy. We're in Revelation 15. A little bit of review. Verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, and I saw a sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. We've got the number seven here two times. We're going to find it some more times down at the end of the chapter. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Now, last week we read the song of the Lamb in chapter 5. It's verses 9 through 14. And so let's look at the song of Moses. It's in Exodus 15. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to sing it. That hurts that way down in there if everything's close together. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake. That's the way I'm going to do it. Saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. You remember the circumstances, don't you? The children of Israel are running. They got stopped up at the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. I get an amen right there. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. How about in my heart? What if he would live in my heart? Wouldn't that be amazing if the Creator, habitation's where you live, a habitation, my Father's God, I'm glad it was handed down, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. You remember that now, aren't you? The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, he just breathed out and took care of them. The waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed. They turned to jello in the heart of the sea. Verse 9, and the enemy said, this is what your enemy says to you too. But you don't have to worry about it because the same God in the first 8 verses will take care of it. But here's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. See, the enemy wants your blood. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. That's what the enemy said. That's what he said. But, verse 10, thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. And they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. How about an amen right there? For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown in the sea." Now the song of Moses, it was sung by the Red Sea. The song of the Lamb, it was sung by the Crystal Sea. The song of Moses, it was sang about a victory over Egypt. The song of the Lamb is talking about a victory over Babylon and Egypt and the world and death, hell, and the grave and the devil. The song of Moses is how God brought His people out. The song of the Lamb is how God brings His people in.
Yeah, that's good.
The song of Moses is Scripture's first song. The song of the Lamb is Scripture's last song. The song of Moses was sung by a redeemed people. The song of the Lamb is sung by a raptured people. Now, both songs commemorate the execution of the foe, the expectation of the saints, and the exaltation of the Lord. Now, you think about this. We could preach on this for a year, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Both songs commemorate the execution of the foe, the expectation of the saints. We're going to an expected end.
Yeah, amen.
And the exaltation of the Lord.
Yeah, okay, good.
The first part, the ransoms are going to be singing, "How great thou art." He really is great.
Yeah.
The second part, verse 3, "And they sang the song of Moses, servant of the Lord, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works." How great thou art. That's what they're singing. The second part, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty." They'll sing, "How good thou art." He really is great, and he really is good. And the third part, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And they'll be singing, "How glorious thou art."
Yeah.
It continues on in verse 4. Here's the glory. "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." See, what we've been looking at is what they sing. Now, this is why they sing. They sing because the Lord Jesus Christ is being unveiled like a oil painting or a statue. It's His holiness and His power and His glory that we're going to see face to face. His wonder and His redemption is what we'll be looking at. We're looking at the King of the ages, the King of saints, the King of nations, the object of the universal worship at this time.
Yeah.
Not today. It's not true of nations today.
Right.
Not today. It's going to be. If I'm God's child, I better not do as I please. I better be getting ready for this day. One day all nations will worship Him, for Thou art holy, and Thy judgments are made manifest. This will happen when God takes charge. Let's look at it in Psalm 7, 9. Now, I kid around a lot. Y'all know I do. And a lot of times when I leave a room, I'll say, "You're in charge," to someone. But that's all a joke. Not real, but the Lord really is in charge.
Yes, He is.
He really is. Psalm 7, 9. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins."
Yes.
Chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. "Upon the wicked," this is all going to happen in chapter 15 at the same time, really. "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest." This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Yeah.
He's on our side. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then verse 40. He poureth contempt upon princes. Doesn't matter how big they are, who's in control, and casteth them to wander in the wilderness where there's no way. You know, a lot of times kidding around will say, no way. You didn't see that buck. That buck wasn't that big. No way, that didn't happen. But when the Lord says no way, no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. All iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's go back to Revelation now, 15. 5 through 8 is the smoke of the temple. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple and the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in fine and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever, in case you're wondering which God it is. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. God poured out His wrath on His Son at Calvary and opened up a way to the Holy of Holies so me and you could come in. Now again, closed and guarded by smoke, bright glory burns in the temple. And His wrath again is poured out on Christ's rejectors. Rejection is the problem. The way you get in God's family is you receive Him. You must receive Him. But from now on, the temple's closed, and it's closed by smoke. That's all He needs. He doesn't even need His word now. No more invitations. No more intercessions.
Right.
No more prayers. Heaven and its temple's closed with the smoke of His glory. Now let's look at those sevens for a minute. Seven's the number of completion, and sometimes completion is perfection.
Yeah.
To be full or satisfied or to have enough. Just for your information, fun facts to know and tell, plants have seven parts. Fruit, stem, leaves, flower stalk, a flower, a root, and a seed. There are seven terms for volume in music. I couldn't pronounce them or spell them either one. I just want you to know that. There are seven cereals found in all parts of the world. Wheat, oats, barley, maize, rice, rye, and millet. There are seven holes in your head. Now while you're counting them, I'll read the next one. The human voice has seven ranges. Bass, baritone, tenor, counter alto, alto, mezzo, soprano, and soprano. There's seven body tissues. There's seven body parts. Four limbs, a head, a neck, and a trunk. There's seven ribs connected to the breastbone on each side. There's seven wrist bones. There's seven muscles in your hands, seven muscles in your feet. There's seven different colors of eyes. A seven-month-old starts teething, and seven-year-olds shed them, lose them. There's seven circumstances. Who, what, where, to what extent, why, how, and when. 6 days a week, your pulse runs faster in the morning. I'm talking about like when the nurse takes your pulse. One day a week, it reverses. We need to rest. God's got a plan. Man messes everything up. Revelation's filled up and completes the Scriptures so full that nothing can be added. And we did in chapter 1, we looked at all the sevens in Revelation. There are seven walks in Ephesians. There are seven precious things in Peter. Naaman dipped seven times in Jordan. There are seven miracles in John. And John, the Lord says, mine hour, seven times in John. There's seven sayings on the cross, seven earthquakes in Scripture. Isaiah 11:2, the sevenfold description of the Holy Spirit. Seven people receive a double call. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. Samuel, Samuel. Moses, Moses. Martha, Martha. Simon, Simon. And Paul, Paul. Romans 12:6-8 lists seven gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. A new song, the phrase, a new song occurs seven times in the Old Testament and is always in connection with the second coming. The voice of the Lord occurs seven times in Psalm 29. And there's seven men that lived over 900 years. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Jared, Methuselah, and Noah. The seventh, a perfect man whose father was Lamech, and he lived 777 years. You can trust your Bible. The song of the Lamb.